So before I dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to come over and be part of my new free Facebook community called the Feminine Collective for Women Entrepreneurs. If you are just starting out in business, if you don't quite know what you want to do yet, or if you already are making multiple six figures and beyond, this community is for you. We are diving into the spiritual, the mental, the emotional journey that a woman entrepreneur goes on and what it really takes in order to experience the soulfulness, the purpose, and the significance that you desire in your business and your life. Come join us in the Facebook group. We are going to be launching the Feminine Collective community very, very soon. And I want you to get a peek of what that experience is going to be in the Facebook group. For those of you that have worked with me in the past or that have been thinking about working with me, I want you to know that number one, this is by far the least expensive way that I've ever offered to work with me. I am so excited. And this is really about gathering all of you, having you come together, teaching the more soulful work that I feel called and that I truly know is my zone of genius. And so I invite you to come on over to the Female Collective for Women Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You can check it out in the show notes below. I can't wait to see you there. Welcome to the Soul of Business. My name is Heidi Stevens, and I'm a coach for women entrepreneurs just like you. My intention for this podcast is to share tools and techniques that I've found invaluable as I've built and scaled businesses over the past 10 years. My mission is to help you uplevel your mindset, get clear on your strategy, and access your intuition to create a business and a life better than you think is possible. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of inspiration and place to go for tools, techniques, and the perspective shift that you need to go out and get what you desire. Let's get started. Yay, let's just dive right in here. I'm so happy that you're here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And you were just saying before we hit record on the mic, just that you've really come to this realization of how short life really is. Let's just go in and go deep away here.
Okay. All right. So here we go.
Yeah.
Right? Usually I like to start off a little lighter. I'm a scrapbooker. But this is another reason that I want to go in this direction is because it's so important. As a modern day memory keeper, I'm realizing now that life is short and everything goes by really quickly. Mm-hmm. And looking back on certain memories in my life. So just to give you some background, right now what I'm dealing with is my dad was just put in an assisted living facility at the beginning of February, and we're navigating that. Mm-hmm. He's in Atlanta, and his wife came to the decision last year that he should be there, and he's got Alzheimer's, and it's progressing. Mm. And so it's one of those things where all of a sudden things are coming really into focus for me.
Yeah.
And it's becoming really clear what to say yes to and what to say no to. Mm-hmm. Before, I think I had clarity, but I had something stopping me from going with my decision or feeling my way through and really feeling confident in saying yes or no. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was a really sincere yes or a no thank you. But then sometimes I wavered in the middle. But what I realized is that there's no point in stressing about indecision. And I live in that space a lot. And I'm trying to work through that. It feels so much lighter after I make the decision, stick with it, knowing that I can change course. It's okay. It's not set in stone.
Oh, that's so huge, because I think the reason why people are afraid to make the decision is because they're like, well, what if it's the wrong decision? Or what if I need to go back? Or what if I have regrets? Or what if I hurt someone's feeling? It's like all of that stuff keeps people in the spiral.
Yes. And that spiraling place is just not a fun place. I was actually a little bit triggered. I felt it coming on. I got a text from his wife. Saying something that, you know, normally I would have been very reactive to it, mm-hmm. but I felt the reaction. I let myself feel the burning sensation of my fuel, my honest anger towards it. And I just let it sit there and burn for a minute. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I let it go. And it was the most powerful thing. And I'm driving and I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to let that affect my day. Instead, I'm going to take something positive out of it. What can I do right now that would make me feel better? You know what? I'm going to call and check in on my dad. And I called him, and for the first time since he's been there, he laughed on the phone. He said he was happy. He didn't say that he was trapped, because every other time I've talked to him, he has felt trapped. And that just pains me, because my father is one of the happiest people you will ever meet. He's so present, and he's taught me this beautiful ability, which I haven't totally honed in on, to be fully present and to be very, very grateful and happy all at the same time, and to really show up. And not give yourself such a hard time. I mean, he's been through the ringer, and learning and knowing all these stories that have come out in the past, honestly, 5 years, I learned that he was actually given away as a child. He was given away to another family in India.
Wow.
To a family who couldn't have kids, because he had 5 or 6 older brothers and sisters. So once he was born, he was actually pretty skinny, and his dad decided that he would give him away. So he was given away to another family who couldn't have kids. His mom had to literally take him as a baby on the train to this other family, leave him there, and then come back on the train to her family. And he was gone for about 4 years. Who he knew as his mom in the first 5 years of his life ended up passing away. And he was given back to his family at 5 years old.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine as like a mom of a 5-year-old, like not having your child for, whoa.
Yeah.
So this has all come out in the last 5 years.
I only learned about it about 5 years
ago. Everybody has their stories, right? And what I love about what you're saying right now is that there are these things that have happened in our past, and there's actually this, this great book called Family Secrets. We will put it in the show notes, that talks about how these things and these ways of being, and there are all of these secrets that are not, it's not that they're like even 5 generations back, like they're literally in like our family of origin. And on some level, we take them on. On some level, we actually know the truth of them. And that by uncovering them and releasing them, it's like all of that shame and guilt and ways of being that we are just, I've almost been conditioned to act out of and to like just, you know, keep things like under the rug. It just allows so much freedom and so much space to be created when those things come out. And what I hear you saying right now is that through your dad's illness and challenges that he's had, it's like all of this stuff has come up and come out, and look at the gift that it's hearing from not only your guys' relationship, just connecting on a deep, it's like you're seeing the value of life and like having all these just beautiful awarenesses that then you get to not only live right now, but then pass on to your son. So let's take this a little bit lighter, because we've got Amy Tangerine here on the show, who is a scrapbooker and obviously so many more things, and so deep and so spiritually connected. She is the author of Craft a Life You Love. And I want to go back and talk about how we first met. So you guys, I met Amy. I was hosting an event at my house, and she came, had no clue who she was, and she left and said, "Hey, Heidi, you know, that was an amazing event. If you ever want to collaborate on something, then let me know." I had no idea what a collaboration was, which you probably think is insane. And I think it's really important to out myself that I had no, just, it was like 2 years ago, no clue what you were talking about. And there are a lot of women listening here that are like, yeah, I don't know what that is either. Like, what is a collaboration? And I want to talk to you about how you have actually built your business based on this. And, you know, even the relationship that we've formed now, based on that initial conversation.
Yes, I love it. So to collaborate to me means to bring your best and work with somebody else in some kind of capacity who brings their best and make something beautiful happen. I never actually defined it, but I think that's what really results from a true and wonderful collaboration, where two parties or more can come together and create something using all of their knowledge, all of their experience, all their wisdom, and putting it on the table and saying, hey, let's make something beautiful with one another. Because that, to me, sparks something that, you know, you hold so much magic on your own, but I feel like you need to partner and have people alongside you working together who can elevate you at the same time that they're being lifted as well. Mm-hmm. And then the potential is endless, really.
Last time that Amy and I were together, which was just like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we are in a peer-led mastermind together, which is just, we could do an entire episode just on that.
It's so beautiful and it's so mind-blowing how happy it makes me just thinking about the group, what we've shared so far and learned. And oh, it's magical. It's my first mastermind. I've never been a part of any type of mastermind.
And this group actually came together because of the collaboration that you and I did together. But even in that last meeting that we were together, you said to me, you said something like, I thought it was interesting that you said, you know, you never collaborated before, because in my opinion, like, every single thing that I do is a collaboration. And I was like, whoa, like, that actually really landed for me. Can you share like what that means for you and kind of speak to that a bit?
Right. So I think it dates back to when I was doing t-shirts. I was designing t-shirts and I realized that you can make something on your own. I've always been very crafty. So I hand embroidered some tank tops and I was able to sell them to stores. But what I didn't realize at the start of it was that there's all these other people involved in the process of getting what you make with your hands to the end user. Okay, there's all these avenues that you could take. I needed to find a resource for the blank tank tops and t-shirts. I needed to find good sourcing for other items. I needed to find a sales rep who could help me get it into the stores where the people would shop and then buy them. And there's so many ways of working together. And those aren't really necessarily collaborations. But what I learned through that process was finding the people that you want to align with and the companies that you want to work with is all a part of collaborating. You know, like that's a collaboration, whether you label it or not. Mm-hmm. You're working together for a common goal.
Yes.
They are, let's say, embroidering the shirts. They have embroidery machines, so I need them to help me. They're a supplier, but it sounds so much, I guess, simpler than that in that realm, t-shirt, you know, industry and fashion industry. But at the same time, when you look at a collaboration now, for me, with my scrapbooking collection, I collaborated with American Crafts. And that was a very organic start because I had always been scrapbooking, but not in the traditional sense.
Okay.
I think that I actually purchased scrapbooking supplies starting in 2007. So it's not that long ago, but I fell deep into the rabbit hole of all things creative, all things stickers, markers, pens, embellishments, and these beautiful memory books and keepsakes of people taking their photographs and putting them alongside these supplies to have these cherished memory albums of their lives and showcasing what a beautiful experience they were living and sharing it with the people they love and enjoying the process too. So I had been using American Craft Supplies since I started, and I ended up getting on their design team, which means that they would send products to use for my projects and then I would photograph them and share them. And at that time, I started blogging. So I was sharing them on my blog. There were some scrapbooking platforms that we shared with message boards. And we had portfolios, essentially, on those sites. And after about 2 or 3 years of working with them in that capacity, I said to them that I was going to be in Salt Lake, where they're based, for a road trip. I was driving my cousin cross-country to move to LA, and that was going to be our last stop. So did they want to have lunch or, you know, can I come visit the warehouse or anything? Mm-hmm. And they said, absolutely. So when I was doing the tour with them, they said, yeah, this is what we do. And they only had one other designer that they were working with outside of the company. And I said, well, if you ever wanted to collaborate with me, I would love to do that. And they said, actually, we were thinking about asking you.
Uh-huh.
And fast forward 6 months, I got the call saying, all right, we're ready to do this. Come bring your ideas and bring them all because we're just going to do a one-off collection and see how it goes. Well, that one-off collection started in 2011.
Okay.
And we've done 2 every year since then.
And what does that look like from, if you don't mind sharing, like from like a revenue perspective or like a growth perspective?
Yeah. So what's great about collaborating with a big company like them is that they take care of everything from the manufacturing, the sourcing, the marketing, the distribution. So I didn't have to worry about any of that. Mm-hmm. And I could focus strictly on being creative director of my own line. So anything that I wanted to dream up that I hadn't seen in scrapbooking before or that I wanted to use personally, I could sketch out. I basically combined all my loves into that first collection. It didn't have a name. We just called it Amy Tangerine because they thought that it would just be a one-off. And it ended up having elements of fashion, home office, travel, because I love going places.
Yeah.
And there was one other element that I can't remember right now for some reason. But all these random elements coming together. And at first, they had never used so many colors in a collection. So I actually pushed them to use a color scheme that was, you know, more than six colors. We had, I think, nine colors in ours. And from a revenue perspective, not that more colors indicates more revenue at all, but it was a licensing agreement. But what was interesting is that, you know, because I had a certain eye for things and designs and trends, bringing it to the scrapbooking community, they saw that as value. And we structured a deal where it was strictly royalty at first, like most licensing agreements. And now as we've gone through the years, we've gone through several iterations of the contract. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy to say that it's a true collaboration partnership because mm-hmm. I now have a consulting agreement with them. So I get a monthly agreed upon rate mm-hmm. and I also get a royalty on top of that.
Amazing.
And it allows me freedom mm-hmm. to feel creative, to have a partner alongside me who knows the ins and outs of producing in China. There's certain things that I've decided that I just don't want to learn. Doesn't that sound horrible? Because there's plenty of things that I do want to learn. So if I can just depend on an expert to handle that part of it, I can feel so much more free to create what I need to create.
So good. So good. And so if a newer or even an experienced entrepreneur is listening to this, they're like, okay, I hear that you put yourself out there, right? Like that's what I'm hearing is you went to them and said, if you ever want to collaborate. But if someone's sitting there going, well, Amy, you clearly have something of value. You clearly have something to offer. You clearly have something to bring to the table. And they're going, what can I really bring to the table? Or what would I put in a collaborative, you know, partnership? How does someone get clear on who would be supportive for them to collaborate with or what that would look like? Because I have clients like that ask me all the time. And it's so clear to me as their coach who they should partner with or what they could do, but they're just not quite there yet.
Yeah. So I go through some practices in my book. The subtitle is Infusing Creativity, Fun, and Intention into Your Everyday. Mm. And one of the exercises really helps you get clear on what it is that feeds your soul. And I think that you need to start there. And I know that sounds like a really strange place to start because my husband, for example, he actually had this strange thing happen where he had this revelation that he didn't know what he felt passionate about. And mm-hmm. I said, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you're so clear on it. You know, you are obsessed with paper crafting. You're obsessed with teaching these workshops and you're obsessed with traveling. And, you know, obviously you're obsessed with your family, but I don't know what I'm passionate about.
I think that's actually so common. And it's why I actually start my coaching out with getting clear on what your desires are and what your dreams are and what your why is. And you and I both talk about that so much in our work. It's like women and men don't give themselves permission to even go there because they wonder, how can I make money in it? Or how am I going to do this? Or it's too hard or it's too big or like, what do I even enjoy? And yes. Like what brings you passion? What fills you up? What lights you up?
Yeah. You don't even have to have the next step figured out. Okay. As far as, you know, creating a business. Okay. Let's say you want somebody to collaborate with, you don't know which direction you're going to go. Mm-hmm. Get really clear on how you want to feel too. All right. And then I would say, take those small steps, take an initial step, see what you can do every single day towards your goal. Doesn't even have to be big. Mm-hmm. I like to say that I have been working since, well, I don't like to say it, been working since I was young. I mean, I was babysitting, you know, before you can actually get a real job. And then mm-hmm. the first opportunity that I could get a real job, I was 15 years old working at McDonald's, 2 days a week. I would work after school on Tuesdays and all day Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I was the drive-through girl. Mm-hmm. After that, I think I worked at like Gadzooks at the mall. I worked at Bath and Body Works. And, you know, I think that whatever you're doing, don't think of it as, oh my gosh, why am I here at this moment? And this is so horrible. You know, you can reframe your thinking as visualizing it as a stepping stone to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. Because I was literally answering phones for minimum wage, which at the time was $4.25 an hour. And I was answering phones at a modeling agency. And of course, that wasn't my thing. That wasn't my calling in life. But while right. I was there showing up on those days that I had to work, I, you know, dressed the part, I did my job, and guess what? There was a photographer who came in the studio regularly, and he saw me, you know, on occasion would start up conversation, and then finally he just asked me, he said, have you ever thought about being a fashion stylist? And I was like, I don't know what that is. Uh-huh. And he's like, well, I could use a fashion stylist, and this is what you do. You basically go shopping for clothes, you choose what the models are going to wear, you make sure the clothes look good on them, and I would love to work on a project with you. And that's another thing, is when you put yourself out there, okay, you can say that I was in the right time or right place at the right time, mm-hmm. but please, mm-hmm. I was answering phones at a modeling agency. You know, uh-huh. it wasn't like I was trying to do all these other things that I didn't know how to do. I was just starting where I was. And that's something I think people can be so hard on themselves. But I'm not here, but you're going to butt yourself to death, you know? But I should do this, I should do that. Well, yeah, you should do one thing. You should start where you are, is what you should do.
That is something that I've learned from you, you know, and you and I have talked about that. And you're like, Heidi, like, you've done so much in this amount of time. And as somebody that's an overachiever and just can see the vision so clearly, and I know my clients and the listeners here feel that way as well. They're like, but I see where I want to go. Like, how do I get there faster? And from, you know, your vantage point, or from, you know, from an outside perspective, it's so easy to say, but look at what you're already doing. And it's just such great wisdom and advice. And you have literally built a super, super successful, crazy career starting scrapbooking. And like, when people are like, wait, what does she do? And I'm like, yeah, I don't even really know. Like, tell us, like, how do you describe? You're a creative. You are so wise. You're so full of just literally like wisdom bombs every left and right. But when someone says like, Amy, what do you do? What do you say?
Oh, I have no idea where to start. I'm a creative director. I'm a scrapbooker. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mom. I think that people mm-hmm. are really dynamic. Okay. And yeah. I think that we're no longer living in the time where somebody says, I'm an engineer. I'm going to be at the same company for 50 years. I mean, my dad was literally at the same company for, I don't know, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
And he had a little break in between, but maybe even longer actually, because he didn't retire until he was like 72 or 73. So having that, we no longer live in that type of world.
Yeah.
And if you're at a job, I think now for 4 years, I think that's kind of a long time.
Yep.
So because we are in charge of our lives, and this is something my dad taught me, is that he taught me two things that were really key in my upbringing. And it's going to sound really funny, but he said to me in high school, okay, I'm going to pay for your college, so it's not optional. Okay. And I'll help support you through college.
Okay.
You're getting a college degree. Don't care what it is, but you're getting one. He happened to go to college. He was one of the first people in his family to go. Mm-hmm. And he also said two things in high school to me that are really funny, where he said, number one, do not get a tattoo and don't get pregnant. And those were the things that just, I knew that I had to do three things for him. Graduate yeah. college and don't do those other two things.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. And, you know, that made it possible for me to see endless possibilities of where my life could go. Mm-hmm. And so he gave me the freedom to explore the things that mm-hmm. I was passionate about. I picked up sewing in high school. I made my prom dress. I was an overachiever with my hobbies, but not so much school. Mm-hmm. So when I got to Georgia Tech and it was really challenging for me, I realized that the only way for me to take a step back and reevaluate what I was going to be doing was to immerse myself in my hobby, which was sewing dresses for my friends for formals and making money from that and helping them design their dream dress and giving them an affordable price. I was working, I don't know, I would charge them $100 for these dresses. That it was a custom dress. My friend wanted a dress that was from the Titanic to wear to a formal, and it literally looked like $1,000 dress. It was just so amazing seeing that come together and seeing that I could make something with my hands that people actually enjoyed wearing and took pride in. I think that I've never really been comfortable with a title, because when I actually first started my company, Amy Tangerine, back in 2001, it was a styling production company after I became a stylist. And so it was called Amy Tangerine Fresh and Juicy. And my title, instead of saying owner or president or anything, my title was Main Squeeze. And that gave me freedom to sort of explore whatever I wanted to do within that range. So I had clients who were in the music industry hiring us for styling production shoots. And I was working with these amazing photographers, flying to Miami, flying to New York. And I was 22 years old. I didn't know what I was doing, but I made it up. Didn't doubt for a second, because guess what? I had permission from all these other people saying, you are going to do this. This is what you're going to do. And it was in alignment with what I wanted to do. I just wanted to experience as many things as I could in that fashion styling realm in Atlanta. And I did it.
Yeah. It's gold. Give yourself permission to follow your passion, to follow your dreams, to take a baby step every single day. You are always going to feel like you don't know the next step. And you may listen to Amy and I right here and be like, oh, they've got it all figured out. They know what they're doing and they're running success. No, we still feel like we have no, we don't feel like we know what we're doing. And so you just keep taking steps. And so we'll end on this. Like, how does someone get past the fear and the paralyzation and like the anxiety that happens when they're like, okay, but I know that next step and I just am so afraid to take it?
You want to re-examine what fear means to you, right? So there's that acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. And that's exactly what it is. So I now have a different way of approaching fear. I used to just take it head on. I would just try something and I would be very reactive. And you know what? Most of the time it actually worked. But now I've decided, instead of doing that, I actually pause. I pause and I really sit with it, because I want to know how I want to feel. And what I learned from you is that you don't have to worry about the how. You don't have to worry about the how of how you're going to get to Z when you're just at B or C. You have to look at how you're going to feel, how you're going to take the next step, and how you want to approach that baby step, and feel the confidence. And I'm not sure how you teach somebody confidence, but I know for a fact that I have learned so many things from mentors. I want to inspire people to feel joy, happiness, and confidence through creativity. So that's how I guide people. Do something that you know you're good at right at that moment. And in that moment, carry that feeling with you for that thing that you're afraid of. And sometimes, you know what? We often very much make it bigger in our heads than it actually is. The thoughts that we let swirl around our heads are so much bigger than if we just took that step, made that call, had that conversation, did X, Y, Z, fill in the blank for you. Are you afraid to make a phone call that will change, that will pivot your life? Are you afraid to take that first step? Then make it a smaller one. You know, you're not going to remember the things that you didn't do. I had this conversation with my husband the other day, and I was like, you know what? There are only two regrets that I have in life. And after I told him what they were, he goes, honey, those aren't really regrets. Those are just things that you didn't do. And who cares? You did so much other stuff. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I hate to take that approach, because I don't like that expression, who cares? But what do you care about? You can't care about everything. And I used to find myself caring about everything. I used to worry about what somebody else would think. I used to worry about how somebody else would feel. You don't serve anybody by playing small, right? It serves no one. So go ahead and take that leap. And guess what? If you fail, it's okay. Shake it off. Go through the healing process. Stand up again. Show up again. And go do that next thing.
And look, it's not if you will fail. It may not be that phone call, and it may be the fifth phone call that you'll, like, you will fail. And that is actually what being an entrepreneur and being in business and just being in life and, like, growth and evolution is all about. And so to really, like, figure out how you reframe those quote unquote failures, right? Do you let them take you down, or do you go, wow, just like Amy's saying, do you shake it off? Do you go, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How do I do it differently next time? How do I shift my approach? And so there is so much wisdom here. And I just love this overwhelming idea of this episode that, as cliche as it sounds, life is really, really, really short. And we truly only have one time around, at least in this human body. And so every day you really have a choice. Like, how are you going to get up? What's that one step? Get over your fear, get over the overwhelm, and move forward towards whatever it is that dream is.
True. And the lessons that you take with you, those are so key if you share them with others so that they can take that wisdom and perhaps not make the same mistakes. You win some, you learn some. And that, to me, kind of encapsulated everything that I was going through, whether it's a struggle or a setback or a hardship. And that is the key takeaway. There's a lesson in everything. There's a lesson that we need to take with us, and we need to share that with the world. We need to share our gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Amy, where can everyone find you?
I'm at amytangerine.com and Amy Tangerine on YouTube and Instagram. And I'd love hearing from everybody.
Go give her a shout out. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.